Welcome to the Misha Rauser Show. I'm Misha, an organizational psychologist, and I'll be taking you down a path towards achieving professional success while still having fun. For over a decade, I have been guiding individuals and organizations through professional transitions. The goal is to help you, your business, or organization create a successful, engaging atmosphere without sacrificing a positive culture. So, let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome. I am Misha, and thank you so much for listening to my show. And again, this show is all about leadership and professional development. And today, I am so excited to have with us Howard Behar as our guest. And so before I introduce Howard, let me just do some few logistics again really quickly. Please remember that these shows are recorded and that you can download them as a podcast on iTunes. And so if you do that and you do subscribe to iTunes and you find the shows enjoyable, it would be wonderful if you could consider rating the podcast. Because as you know, when you do that and maybe leave one or two sentences, it really helps raise the awareness of the podcast to other people, too. So know that you have these to listen to at any time that you would like through the podcast. And remember, too, you can always go to my website and submit any questions that you have that you would like for me to be able to answer for you in regards to professional development or your professional career. And that website is MishaRauser.com, and that's spelled MeishaRouser. And real quick, let me say hello to Benny, too.
Hey there, good day.
Welcome, Benny. How are you?
I'm doing well. Awesome. Pleasure to have you back in the old hot seat there.
Yes, exactly. I know. It was great. Last week, I took the week off, and it was nice to – I had some – business I had to do in traveling.
Business, so. Quote unquote. I like that.
It was actually a long week of travel, but
well,
it was
we missed
good.
You. We missed you.
Thank you, Vinny, and I missed you too. It's
Aww.
Great to be back. All right, so let's go ahead and I'd like to introduce Howard Behar. For 21 years, Howard had led Starbucks domestic business as president of North America's, and he became the founding president of Starbucks International, opening the very first store outside of North America in Japan. And during his tenure, he participated in the growth of the company from only 28 stores to over 15,000 stores spanning five continents. He served on the Starbucks board of directors that also for 12 years before retiring. So now Howard is committed to development and the education of our future leaders and has been a lifelong advocate of servant leadership. After a successful publication of his first book, It's Not About the Coffee, Lessons on Leadership from A Life at Starbucks, which was published back in 2008, Howard now travels the world speaking to leaders, corporations, and students. His motivational messages inspire everyone to be servant leaders and to lead with values first, which is very much a lot of things that we talk about in this show. Howard has recently released another book, The Magic Cup, a business parable about a leader, a team, and the power of putting people and values first. The book is a reminder that nice guys and gals tend to finish first. And it's a really fun book to read or to listen to. So, Howard, thank you so much for joining me and taking the time to be on my show today.
Thanks, Misha. It's great to be here.
And, you know, so this spring, I heard Howard talk at the Gonzaga University's Leadership Symposium, and I was so inspired by your stories. And also, just to let you know, of course, I'm a big Starbucks fan. It was funny because I still to this day remember the first time I walked into a Starbucks down in California. And as soon as I walked in and just felt the atmosphere, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is brilliant. And this was like back in the 90s. And so ever since then, I have followed Starbucks, the organization, the leadership. I just find the organization so intriguing. So, again, another reason I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Well, I'm a big Starbucks fan, too.
I bet you are. So Howard, so tell me a little bit. I'm curious, first of all, you had shared when I was listening to you speak at Gonzaga of a little bit of that transition that you went through when you left Starbucks into what you're doing now with inspiring others to be leaders. I would love to hear a little bit and to have you share a little bit of that with our listeners.
Well, it was a difficult transition because I'd always preached to everybody, you know, you are not Starbucks and Starbucks is not you, to the people that were working there. But, of course, you know, it was hard for me. I fell into that trap myself. And so when I retired from Starbucks, you know, trying to find my place again in the world was really difficult. And I really got I got very depressed over it. And one day I was laying on a sofa reading a book, and you know, thinking, God, this, you know, my life isn't worth much right now. And just this thought came into my head, hey, Howard, your life's work is still your life's work. And I started repeating that over and over to myself. And, of course, who knows where it came from, but those words kind of changed everything. And I realized, yeah, my life's work is always my life's work. And that hadn't changed whether I was at Starbucks or I was retired trying to do it in another way. And so that began a new journey in my life, and that's where I'm at now.
So did you always have the vision then that you were going to write these books and be this motivational speaker?
No, I had no idea of that. Actually, the first book, It's Not About the Coffee, came about because of two women that I'd worked with at Starbucks. One was the head of marketing for Starbucks International, and the other one was a consultant that I had worked with, and they kept pushing me to write a book. And, you know, you're talking to a guy that barely got out of high school. I had a couple of years of community college, but I never saw myself writing a book. But they kept pushing me, and finally I got so mad at them. I said, if you want a book so bad, write it yourself. And so they interviewed me for about 100 hours, and they started writing a book, and then one got pregnant and left Seattle area, and the other one got a big consulting job and didn't have time to do it. By that time, I was hooked. So I found somebody to help me and completed it. But no, I never thought of myself as doing this. I just was trying to – it was a vehicle that I was using to try to change the world.
Hmm. That's very cool. You know, and I think also that first book, especially all the different parables of what it means to be a leader. And there's so many leadership lessons in there and so many things that you brought in regards to, you know, how Starbucks, you know, again, it's not about the coffee. It's about the
right
people. And that's something I always felt that Starbucks, and I think a lot of people do too, is that it really does show that Starbucks does hold that image. It is about the people.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and that's kind of the way it's core. You know, and if you think about it, you know, the coffee business by itself, the cafes, you know, it's a people-centric kind of place, and it always was that. And, you know, we just added to it. But, yeah, absolutely, it is about the people.
Nice. And so, you know, real quick, too, because we do have a little bit of time, and I think it's important. I think a lot of people, at least it inspired me, and you had touched on it really quickly, of how did you even get to Starbucks? I think it's a really interesting journey that you took.
Well, I had been the president of a land development company that got in trouble, and we had to sell it. I was 44 years old and basically broke. And I had decided I wanted to buy my own business, and so I started looking around to try to buy a small business by borrowing some money from my brother-in-law, who was the only one in the family that had any money at the time. And so I found a business to buy, and he said, well, it was actually a franchise of a large national company. And he said, well, I know somebody that's been in the franchising business. I want to take you and let's go talk to him before I decide that I'm going to invest with you. And so we did, and it was a guy that actually was one of the original investors at Starbucks, a guy named Jack Rogers. And we went to the little old Starbucks roasting plant on Airport Way and met with Jack. And, you know, the first words out of Jack's mouth were, you know, why do you want to do something like that? We need a guy like you right here at Starbucks. We could really use you. Well, I had talked with Howard Schultz about a year before that time, and Howard was looking for some things that I just wasn't. You know, he was looking for somebody, first of all, that had a college degree. I didn't have it. Somebody with food service experience. I think the only thing on the list that I qualified for is I could breathe, you know. So, you know, Jack kept pushing me, and I kept saying, well, I talked to Howard before. And Jack said, no, things have changed. And so, you know, you could have heard my brother-in-law's collective sigh of relief, you know, down, all the way down in Auburn, I think. He was thinking, man, if he gets a job, I don't have to loan him any money. And so I turned right instead of turning left, and I ended up going to work for Starbucks. And I asked if I could work for a week before I joined Starbucks. They could look at me, I could look at them. And a week later, you know, they extended the invitation, and it was the best decision of my life in terms of career.
Wow. That, you know, I just love that story. And then to think about how much impact that you had in that company. I mean, you had so much heart. You can tell a lot of the heart of who Starbucks is. A lot of that came from you.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, it fit me like one of those gloves that you can see you know, all the veins and wrinkles in your hand that fits your glove so perfect, hand so perfectly. And that's just the way it was with me. It just fit me perfectly. It was, I loved coffee. I'd been a customer for 17 years, so, you know, I understood a little bit about Starbucks. But more than that, I loved people, and the two of those fit together perfectly at Starbucks. So it fit for me. You know, yeah. It was just exactly perfect fit.
Okay, so you finish that career, then you retire, you go through this the transformation and realize, oh, my gosh, I can still make a difference. And then you had two people help you with the first book. Then, so the Magic Cup, it's such a different type of book because it's a fantasy in a sense.
Yeah.
And so what inspired you to write that one?
Well, it's written as a fantasy, but it actually – for most, a lot of the events were true. I mean, they were, of course, changed, and they were composites of events that happened in my business career. And it was lessons that I learned. And so the lead character, Vince Steadfast, although it wasn't me, I was one of the other characters. I was actually a woman named Nora, who I always felt that, you know, you help your people grow, and if they don't stay with you, that's okay, as long as they're improving their lives. And most bosses don't do that, but I've always felt that needed to be done. So Nora helped Vince go on his own way, and it's just, I wanted to write something that was basically a children's book for adults, and it's kind of where Harry Potter meets business, but the stories are basically true, you know, I mean, it's outside of the fantasy parts of them.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I liked when I read it, is it was very enjoyable to read, but the stories, you could relate to it and think, you know, I've seen that before. And I've been in situations.
Yeah, you've been there before, right?
Yeah.
We've all had those bosses that you know, haven't cared, and, you know, and so, you know, and that's part of that story, that how you survive and how you live by your values and why that's so important.
Yep. All right, so, Howard, we're going to take a quick break here, a commercial break, and when we come back, then I have quite a few other questions. I'd love to hear, especially when some of these stories and where they played out. And so, again, you are listening to the Misha Rauser Show here on KKNW, and we will be right back.
Dynamic careers in organizations require dynamic thinking. Success is measured in terms of positive, productive, meaningful workplaces. Misha Rauser, master coach, organizational psychologist, and successful entrepreneur, has helped thousands become more confident in their leadership and professional abilities. Misha's years of research and private practice have given her the tools to help you or your organization improve performance. Log on now to learn more about coaching, consulting, or training with Misha Rauser at MishaRauser.com. That's MishaRauser.com.
Hello, my name is Marie Manucherry. I'm an energy intuitive author and host of Where Energy and Medicine Meet. During the show, I answer callers' questions, intuitively, of course, and provide invaluable guidance. I also interview others who I believe are on the leading edge of thought. Tune in on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on 1150 a.m. in Seattle, or live wherever you are at energyintuitive.com.
So effective leadership isn't something that just happens. It takes time and effort. Misha Rauser, master coach, organizational psychologist, and successful entrepreneur, has developed a concentrated series of courses to help you become your best as a leader and professional. Explore your leadership style, become a communications master, and learn to plan strategically in order to make better decisions. You'll learn emotional intelligence, team building, change management, and other skills for personal success, such as conflict resolution. There's a great leader inside you to be unlocked. Make the commitment to become a well-rounded, intelligent leader. Show the world around you that you are ready to lead. Log on to MishaRauser.com. That's MishaRauser.com to learn more. It's the Leadership Development Series. Your first step toward professional excellence begins at MishaRauser.com.
1150KKNW.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Misha Rauser Show. And I have the honor of having Howard Behar with me today. And a lot of you probably don't even realize there's quite a few quotes out there that Howard has that we have shared and I have heard that he does, you know, that he came up with. And one of them, Howard, I'm really intrigued with and I love that I hear the most is the person who sweeps the floor should choose the broom. Where did that come from?
So that came from actually before I started at Starbucks. I made notes of what kind of organization I wanted to lead, you know, when I was looking to buy my own business and how I wanted it to be. And I had written this little statement out that everybody gets to vote. And I don't mean everybody got to vote on everything, but you got to vote particularly in your own area of expertise. And so I kind of coined a phrase. I was trying to make it clear to people and at Starbucks when I was there. And I said, you know, the person who sweeps the floor should choose the broom. And what I meant by that is we go out and we hire great people and we bring them into our organization and then we start to tell them what to do and we start to give them all the rules instead of letting them be free and use their own intelligence and intellect and creativity to actually do something great at Starbucks. And so, you know, one of the great stories, I think, there was a district manager named Dana Campion who worked at Starbucks, and she ran Southern California when we first opened in Southern California. One day I get a call from Dana, and she wants me to come down and visit. She wants to take me on a tour of some of our stores and some competitor stores. And when we went to one of the competitor stores, she bought me a drink. And she said, you know, we're getting about 30 people a day coming into our store wanting a drink like this. And she said, I think that we ought to have something like this. So I took the idea back to Seattle, and I called a meeting with the head of marketing and some other people in the company. And I said, here's Dina's idea. And basically, Dina's broom, you know, she was choosing. Dina had some goals, you know, that she was responsible for, which were growing the business and serving her customers in the way they wanted to be served. So here Dina was trying to do something creative by giving customers something they wanted. So I pitched the idea, and there was absolutely no support. And so I had to call Dina up and say, you know, there's no support at this time to do it. And they said the reason there's no support is, you know, it wasn't a product that the head of marketing thought we should have. He was the head of marketing and product development. And so I called Dean up, and she, of course, was disappointed. About 3 weeks later, I got another call from Dana, and she said, can you come down again? There's something I want to show you about this the product idea. And I said, Dana, you know what the answer is. Give it a break for a while. We'll get back to it in about 6 months, I promise you. She said, no, please, Howard. Next time you're down, can you please let me know and stop by? So I had to be in Southern California about 3 weeks, and I made an appointment to see Dina, and she asked me to go sit down in a chair in the store, and she brought me over three little sample cups. And I took a sip, and I said, Dina, are you trying to get me fired? Because this little drink tasted remarkably like that drink that she bought me at a competitor store that the rest of the team decided they didn't want to do. And she just looked at me with those big brown Italian eyes and basically said, please let me try this. Please let me try it. And, you know, Dina and her broom, she was trying to choose her broom, right? She was trying to be creative and achieve her goals. So, you know, it's one of those things that all leaders face at some time or another in their leadership or management career. And sometimes they have to go against the status quo. And so I said to her, okay, Dina, you can do this, but do not tell a soul. And you can't put any signs up. You can have a little sign on the front counter. So Dina thought that we could sell about 30 drinks a day per store. So she tried it, and I told her she had to call me every night and leave a message on my home phone because I was scared to death, you know. God, was I going to get in trouble?
Yeah.
And so the first week, the sales of this drink were about 50 drinks a day per store. The second week, about 60 drinks. The third week, about 70 drinks a day per store. This was going to be a blowout success. It was going to increase volume in the stores by about 15%. I was thinking to myself at the time, Howard, you are brilliant. So I took the idea back to Seattle, and I called a meeting again, and I invited Dean and her team to come up, and she did, and she brought all her equipment and samples up, and she laid out. I called the meeting, and she brought in samples, and there are a few smiles on people's faces, but the head of marketing and product development got up, and Howard Schultz was there at the time, And he looked at me, and he was about a foot away from my nose, and he said, "Bihar, I thought we told you we weren't going to do this. I'm the head of product development. You're not." And he looked at Howard Schultz, and he said, "You tell Bihar to stop this right now." Well, I'm a pretty emotional guy, so I had a document, a piece of paper with all the numbers on it, what it was going to do. And I said, "Howard, give me 90 days. If you don't like it, I promise we'll stop." Well, I've been in retail my whole life. I knew if you got something that's really working, it never goes away. So Howard said, "Okay, you got the 90 days, but if I just don't like the smell, it's gone." So it turned out to be an unbelievable success. And the product was Frappuccino.
Hmm.
And Frappuccino right now is probably close to $4 billion in sales globally. And at one time, it was 20% of the business at Starbucks. So, you know, Dina and her broom, you got to let your people fly. People have ideas, and you got to give them opportunities. And sometimes you got to break the rules and ask for forgiveness later as a leader. And, you know, I did that. It wasn't my idea. It was Dina's idea. All I did was give her some room to try it. You know, I'm not pleading for anarchy here. You know, you can't do everything. But sometimes when you feel something is right, you got to go with it.
Yeah, and
so that's what happened.
I love that example for so many reasons. And also, too, because of its showing, you know, how you're modeling the way of the servant leadership, too. And which leads me to another question, because I know you've always been a lifelong advocate of servant leadership. And I wonder, have you ever had a challenge, though, throughout your career where you felt like you couldn't be a servant leader?
Well, I wouldn't say where I felt I couldn't. I've made mistakes where I didn't act like a servant leader.
Mm.
You know, I've done that many times. And, you know, that's part of life and part of living and part of leading. And you make mistakes. And the key is to acknowledge those mistakes and to own them. Not only to yourself first, because that's who you have to forgive yourself first, but then ask for forgiveness to others. And hopefully you've put enough positive stones on the scale that people will forgive you. If you haven't, then sometimes, you know, once you break trust, it's hard to regain it. But, yeah, certainly I've made plenty of errors and haven't lived up to what I felt that a servant leader was capable of living up to.
That's great. That's great, because I know some people do struggle. I mean, because it's so hard to always be 100% on. And that's great to hear.
Yeah, intent is so important. If people know that your intentions are good, they'll forgive you a lot. And, you know, servant leaders are there to serve. They're there to help people achieve their goals in the journey of achieving the organization's goals. And so you always have to put your people first.
Nice. And so what other, you know, we have a few more minutes. What other leadership tips would you like to leave for our audience?
Well, you know, we all have heard, you know, this idea that when a mistake is made, that leaders have to step up and, you know, take the, I don't like to use this word, but take the proverbial bullet first. In other words, when something goes wrong, you got to own it yourself. Even though it might have been somebody on your team that has made the mistake, you never get out of the way. You always stand there and you take whatever's coming, and then you deal with it later with that person. So that person always knows that he or she has support. And that is really important. You know, I've seen so many times where bosses, they don't want the responsibility. They don't want to take the blame, and so they step out of the way. And when that happens, you know, you automatically lose trust and you lose relationships with the people that report to you, and they know that you won't be there for them when you need to be there for them, and or when they need you to be there for them. And I think that's really an important thing. And I think we forget that way too often.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The other thing, I think that we create too many rules. I think we would be better off to think of things that we do outside of the legal things and the things that we do for people's safety. We should, anything that touches those human beings we call customers, we should have less. Should really not have rules. We ought to have recipes. Recipes means that you can change what's in the recipe. And, you know, Starbucks has made a living by changing what's in the recipe. If you come into a Starbucks, say, "I want mine extra hot and I want an extra quarter of inch of foam and an extra shot of this," that's the way you get it. You know, it's hard to do in most places, but that's how we've done it. And I think that's how you have to do it with your people. Give your people room. You know, they'll make some mistakes, and as long as they're not you know, you can keep them from making business threat mistakes, but you know, stuff in serving the customer or serving people, you ought to give them lots of room.
Yeah, and I see how that so nicely how that circles back around to back to the person who sweeps the floor should choose the broom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that is
so. You know, it's look, leadership is not easy. You know, the most important person we're ever going to have to learn to lead is ourselves. You know, that's leadership with a small L. Leadership with a capital L is learning to lead others with power or without power. Shouldn't make any difference. But learning to lead yourself is the key. You know, understanding what your values are, who you are as a human being, what your goals are, what your mission is. You know, those are important things in life. And that's where everything begins. And when you get that right, then the rest of it just comes naturally.
Yeah, and that also, for all of you who are listening, going back to your book that you just wrote, the Magic Cup, it's a great representation of that because, again, the lead character is having to get really clear on who he is as a leader.
Right. He thought he was clear, right, until
yeah.
troubles happen. And we all are that way until something happens. And then, you know, how easy it is to how fragile we are in our leadership roles. And all of a sudden, maybe we revert back to something we don't really want to be. You know, all those things we talked about of being a servant leader, all of a sudden, they just seem to disappear. You know, why that happens, I don't know. It's the emotion and of the time or whatever, you know.
Howard, that was huge. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. It looks like we are running out of time. Howard, I cannot tell you how honored and thrilled and really appreciative I am that you were able to join us here today. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Misha. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. Again, you have been listening to the Misha Rouser Show, and I'm Misha, coaching you towards success. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Misha Rouser Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Join Misha every week, Tuesdays, 9:30 to 10 a.m., as she takes you down a path toward achieving professional success while still having fun. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues. Misha helps people and organizations be successful, all while staying on a positive path. Tune in next week for the Misha Rouser Show.